Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson. This is our podcast, and it is a program where we are able to delve even deeper into some of these important issues as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And I know this is right down the alley of my guest. That is Leslie Manoukian, and she is the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. And Leslie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Kim. Oh, my gosh. I love that opening. Freedom and force. No, there is no force if you're free.
Well, that's
so great to be with you this morning. Thank you.
It's great to be with you as well. And Leslie, as we were doing kind of our pre-call on this, you said that there is something, some huge overriding issue that people need to understand. What is that?
I think that the bottom line is that what we are experiencing, and that seems to make no sense to a lot of people, is the installation of a biosecurity state in America. That is what is happening. And it's really easy to see that if you take a step back and consider all of the contradictions and confusion and things that on the surface seem to be misunderstandings, but really aren't. And the reason I say that is you just, you know, look at, first we were told social distancing, right? Stay 6 feet apart and everything will be okay. And if social distancing works, then there should be no need for masks. But then we're told you have to wear a mask too. And then if masks work, you shouldn't have to social distance, but you still have to do both. And if masks and social distancing work, then you shouldn't have to get a vaccine. But now we're told we have to get a vaccine. And originally we were told that the vaccine was going to prevent transmission and infection. But now CDC in August, I think it was around the 12th of August, maybe the 15th, somewhere in there, admitted that these shots do not protect against transmission or infection.
So why do you need to get it?
Why do you need to get it? There is no public health argument. And why do you need to mask then? And why do you need to distance? And what is really happening? And why are they going so far as to incentivize people with burgers and beers and pizza and lotteries?
Right.
Why the major push, and why is the federal government now stepping in? And I think that's a really important point that we need to unpack.
So do you have an answer to why?
I honestly believe that what is happening is that we are seeing the destruction of Western civilization. And listen, okay, to our listeners, I know that may sound crazy, that may sound conspiratorial, that may sound, you know, extreme, but the truth is, if you had told someone 2 years ago that the federal government was going to mandate that everybody get a shot that doesn't prevent transmission or infection, everybody would have laughed at you, right? And here we are now being told that you can't go and dine, you can't go and shop, you can't go and do a lot of things in New York, Los Angeles, and other cities now without evidence of this jab. And I read, you know, it's interesting. I was just in Chicago with my son getting him dropped off at his freshman year in college. And as we were opening a bank account for him, the person who was helping us asked whether or not they asked if he was vaccinated. Now, I haven't clarified. I'm not sure if he was asking about the school or the system that my son was logging into, giving all his information for his bank account, and I think it was the latter. He was wondering whether or not the system was asking for his vaccination status. So can you imagine a world where they're not just asking about, you know, your vaccination status to go to a play or to a sporting event or to a restaurant, but now it's to actually open a bank account.
Oh my gosh.
And this is what's happening, right? And so people have probably heard about the social credit system that's been implemented in China over the last couple of years.
Right.
Where if you are friends with someone who speaks out against or says anything negative against the state, if you're friends with them on social media, you get a lower social credit score. If you jaywalk, you get a lower social credit score. And if you don't have a certain level of social credit score, you can't book a high-speed train or a plane ticket. You can't move freely. And there have been you know, leaks out of the Canadian government saying that if you don't get the vaccine, you won't be able to move. So what I'm trying to explain here is that there is a effort to use this virus and the vaccine as a tool to implement data collection, biometrics, and to what end? It seems fairly clear the end is control. And so it's a biosecurity, a biofascist or a medical fascist state that's being implemented right under their noses, right under our noses. And most people don't realize it, so they're not fighting back. And this is what is so important. People have to understand that we are on the brink of the end of America.
Well, and a couple of things. First thing, so many people have capitulated. And let me say, if you want to do all of these things above freely, please do. Please do. But with all the force and coercion, there are people that have capitulated. I was talking to a young woman who didn't want to get the jab, but she was coerced into it by not only by her coworkers, but also her doctors. She said she talked to several different doctors and she went ahead and got it. And then she said, they told me if I got it, that I wouldn't have to wear a mask, but now I do. And so she's trying to match that up. And so there does seem to be awakening, but this force and coercion and this control, this fascist control, they're trying to move at warp speed, I think, Leslie, so that they accomplish this before we all realize what's going on.
100%, Kim. I've been speaking out for the last few weeks since the Biden administration announced that it's going to require the shots for all businesses with 100 or more employees, okay? So first of all, the federal government doesn't have the power to mandate that. The federal government doesn't have the power to do that, number one. Number two, if you ask me, that's an act of desperation. And the reason I say that is that if people were complying, they wouldn't have to resort to that. But because they don't have the power, so the executive branch doesn't have the power to implement health directives. The only the police powers and health powers are part of police powers are reserved to the states and the Constitution. Okay, so the federal government can't do that, number one. Number two, the legislative branch is Congress, and Congress makes laws, not the executive. And what they did was, you know, put out this edict, essentially, which is what tyrants do, and say that everyone has to comply. Health Freedom Defense Fund, my nonprofit, is going to be suing over this very soon, as soon as OSHA issues the actual rule. And in my opinion, the reason that they did that is because they're getting desperate. They have to get everybody into their system before people realize that what's actually happening is that those who are vaccinated are more likely to get sick. They are more likely to be hospitalized. They are equally likely, if not more likely, to die. If you look at what's happening in Israel, 95% of the hospitalizations are occurring in the fully vaccinated. The severe disease is happening in fully vaccinated. And so now they're moving on to a fourth shot, and they keep changing the goalposts. If you got, you know, they first said, well, two shots and then you'll be fully vaccinated, you can move freely. Now they've said three, and they are telegraphing to the public that it's going to be four soon. So if you're more than a few months after your last dose, you're no longer vaccinated. Why is that important? Because there have been hundreds of thousands of injuries in this country and elsewhere. And yet, peer-reviewed science shows us that fewer than 1% of all vaccine reactions are ever reported. So you've got to multiply that by 100, at the very least 10. Some people say it's only 10% of vaccine reactions are reported, but it's an extraordinarily low number. And so if you take the official number at the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System of about 700,000 injuries and 15,000 deaths, you've got to multiply those by at least 10, but you might multiply them by 100. The point is that, and I also have calculated that only about 15%, I'd say maybe 15 to 20% of the people who get the first shot don't go back for their second. What does that tell you? People are suffering. They are having huge problems. What you told me, you know, what you just mentioned about this young woman, I have heard dozens and dozens and dozens of stories of people who got the shot because they felt coerced, didn't want to lose their job, and now, you know what, they have a heart problem. I met a 40-year-old woman the other day, same thing. She passed out going on a hike. I know of a young man who's the captain of the football team at my son's university. He didn't want to get it. They told him that he wouldn't be able to travel freely, or that if they traveled out of state and came back, he'd have to quarantine for a week. So if they traveled, the team traveled out of state for a week, he'd have to quarantine, couldn't practice, couldn't watch tapes, couldn't be with his team or anybody. He'd have to be isolated for 7 days every time he came back. So he broke down and got the shot. 2 days later, he had some kind of a neurological thing with paralysis or a seizure in the middle of the football game. This is a healthy young 21-year-old kid. And the more those stories happen, the more people don't want to get the shot, and more the resolve deepens of those who haven't gotten it yet. And so if you ask me, the federal government is desperate, the federal government and the people who control it and the people who are really calling the shot are
no pun intended.
Yes, thank you. They're desperate to get us all into that system because they don't want a control group. They don't want healthy people walking around who haven't gotten it. They don't want people. And I think there's other things. I think, listen, every shot has a barcode associated with it, so everyone gets a number assigned to them.
Now, what do you mean? You know, that they actually can inject a barcode?
No, but every single time, so it's scanned. Every shot is scanned. There was something called Appyject, is a contractor in the United States that does barcoding, and they have contracted with the Defense Department and other groups, and they contracted with the federal government early in 2020 to create a barcode that went with every single shot. So that barcode is associated with your name.
Got it. Okay.
And all of the medical details, and that goes into a system. And is that going into a global system, or does it just stay in the United States?
Ooh.
So if you ask me, this is not about the United States. This is about something much bigger than us. And that is, you know, a global government. I mean, listen, the health officials in Australia are actually openly voicing it, that we're installing a new world order. That's what they say.
Oh, I've heard, I actually was at an event the other day, or the other night, and Katie Hopkins, who's a British media personality, had been in Australia, and what she was describing, just, it's beyond belief. People locked in their homes, and they can't go more than a certain distance from their home, and reporting on what you're buying at the grocery store. It's unbelievable.
Vaccinated or not, they can't go farther than 5 kilometers from their home.
It's unbelievable.
They can't. And there's a curfew from 8 p.m. to 5 p.m. And yes, they're monitoring how much alcohol you can have. Obviously, because, you know, when people drink alcohol, it reduces their inhibitions and they're much more likely to get rowdy, right?
Right,
and
right.
People who are rowdy are far more dangerous to the state and to the powers.
Right.
They are harassing pregnant mothers, arresting them for posting on Facebook about a rally or a protest. Literally, what's happening? And I think it's really important that people understand in this country that what's happening in Australia is a model for what will be rolled out everywhere.
That is
what's happening. In Slovakia, I think it is, you can't buy gasoline without proof of vaccination.
It's terrifying. I reported on this the other morning, and that is, this was a headline that my researcher had pulled, and I've actually seen some pictures of this, and that is that Black Lives Matter in New York has said, they're saying the vaccine mandates are racist, but they are saying that they are going to stand up against this, and so I do agree with Black Lives Matter on this. We don't agree on much, but I do agree with them about standing against these vaccine mandates. So I find some interesting hope in that, Leslie Manoukian.
Yeah, me too, Kim. I think it's very, very interesting. Well, you probably know, I'm sure listeners know about the Tuskegee experiments, which is where the federal government and CDC allowed men with syphilis to suffer, even though there was a treatment, just so that they could observe them, right? And I think they inoculated them with syphilis even initially, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But the point is that they let them, you know, suffer and live their lives and expose their partners and all sorts of things, despite the fact that they had a treatment for it. And those Tuskegee experiments are, you know, will live in infamy forever. And so African Americans know about that and are concerned. On top of that, we've seen that autistic black boys are much more likely to suffer autism if the MMR vaccine is administered before 3 years of age than white boys are, white children are. And Latinos are more susceptible as well than whites. And if you look at who are the least vaccinated with this shot, it's not even a vaccine, it's gene therapy, but if you look at those who have gotten it, the lowest proportion of the population are Hispanics and blacks. And so implementing a vaccine passport is a form of racism. That's actually institutionalized racism because
right.
It's an institution imposing it, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, the irony is very interesting. I don't have a lot in common with BLM either. I just feel like, listen, we are all free. We are all able to make our own choices in life. That doesn't mean the deck is not, you know, it's not harder for some people. It is. You know, my father was an Armenian child of an Armenian immigrant who came here with nothing but the shirt on his back when he was 13 years old. It was clearly much harder than him on him than someone who'd been here for a long time. But the point is that now what's happening is by requiring vaccine passports, you are actually discriminating against Hispanics and blacks because they have gotten the shot in much lower numbers than whites have.
Boy,
and so that's why BLM is standing up, because if you go to these big cities and you go to the South too, oh my gosh, they're way, way behind most places, which I feel is actually very promising because it gives
too.
Me hope that these people are standing up and not trusting with good reason, and they're not complying. And it's because they know that these people who are in power can't be trusted. Listen, they told us 14 days to flatten the curve,
right.
And here we are almost 2 years later. I mean,
right.
If you can't, you can't believe anything they say. The
right.
Science is so clear. So
right, and so if
it's
this
laughable.
Is a consistent lies, I mean, if that's the mantra, then I don't trust anything that they have to say. Leslie, changing this just a little bit, you are the founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund. That website is healthfreedomdefense.org. But after you had been on the show recently, people are reaching out to me. They say, I've got an October deadline. I've got a November deadline. My employer says if I don't get the jab by then, that I'll lose my job. And they're frantic. What to do about that? What do you say to people? Because I know you're overloaded. People are reaching out to you. But how can we help them?
Well, we are overloaded, Kim. I mean, it's a really sad state of affairs here today. And what we are doing is we are suing on behalf of big groups. So we're suing for hundreds of school teachers or thousands of federal workers or thousands of city workers, those kinds of groups, because we can't fund it all ourselves. We don't have enough manpower or the funding to do all of these lawsuits. And we don't have those resources for all the individual lawsuits. But what we do have is the ability to do these bigger cases, which we believe will help to shift the needle for everyone.
Can people join in on that? So let's say I have a federal worker that reaches out to me. Could they join in on that lawsuit?
If you're employed by the federal government, then yes. We are setting up an intake form on our website, which will allow people. But here's the thing also. The best thing for people to do is join Health Freedom Defense Fund. Health Freedom Defense Fund membership is $10. And once we get this intake form set up, which hopefully will be in the next week, it will enable them to say they want to be a plaintiff or they want to be a declarant. A plaintiff is somebody who's named. But here's the thing. If we file against the federal government, which we will do, and they are a federal employee and they are a member of Health Freedom Defense Fund, Health Freedom Defense Fund will represent their interests. They don't have to be named.
Okay. What about a teacher
or
a professor?
For the federal government, Pardon?
What about a teacher or a professor? Will you also have lawsuits over there on that?
We are doing them, but we're doing them in individual school districts. So we've got a couple going in Arizona. We've got something against the Los Angeles Unified School District, the second largest. We've got stuff in works against the city county of San Francisco. We've got some major health, an HMO. We've got pharmaceutical companies. We've got all these things. And the point is, we are going to keep, we've got firefighters, federal employees. We've got airline employees. The biggest and most important thing you can do is, one, join Health Freedom Defense Fund, and two is organize yourself.
Okay.
Because if you can organize a big enough group, then you can raise enough money, then we can help mount a lawsuit on behalf of you. If you work for a company with less than 100 employees, then the federal government can't mandate it, even though the federal government can't do it, it's illegal. We are going to sue on that, and we're going to pursue a temporary restraining order to try and get it stayed so that it won't go into effect. But the biggest thing is to organize yourselves and hold the line. Listen, in New York City, New York Teachers for Choice has actually achieved some successes, and judges are listening. So what's happened is they had 5,000 people show up and rally on the steps of City Hall against vaccine mandates for teachers. And people are paying attention to that. And this is the thing. We have millions, tens of millions, almost 100 million, maybe more than 100 million people who aren't, well, first of all, there's close to 100 million who've never gotten a shot, and there's a couple tens of more millions more who've gotten one jab but haven't gotten another. We only need 10 to 15% of the population to make a change. That's it. You don't need the whole population. You just need to make a big enough stink. And so I encourage people to be brave, stand up, organize themselves, and fight back. And you fight back by getting in their faces peacefully. You fight back by saying no. You hold the line. Here's the other thing. If everybody just said, I'm not going to comply, it would shut down these businesses. They wouldn't be able to operate, and they would fold. That's what would happen. They would change the policies. The other thing is, by standing up, you shift public opinion. And judges are human beings, and they are susceptible to public opinion. And so when they see what's going on in New York City, they're much more likely to be sympathetic. So a judge just ruled that healthcare workers, a judge granted a temporary restraining in New York against Cuomo's mandatory vaccine for healthcare workers, because they've been fighting back. And so you need to organize yourself. That's what needs to happen. There are things that you can do. So first of all, if your employer says that you are going to be voluntarily separated from the company, say, no, I'm not. I don't agree to that. I am not quitting. And put it in writing. Insist. Show up for work. Make them fire you. Do not allow them to say you're being separated. This is a word game in order to absolve them from any kind of benefits if they terminate you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just insist. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. If you don't want me here, you will have to fire me. I'm not quitting. I'm not consenting. I don't agree. Don't sign anything you don't agree with. Simply don't.
Okay.
So don't sign their documents. Don't sign their forms. Don't consent. Don't sign anything that goes against your conscience. Try and get a medical exemption or a religious exemption. Organize yourselves. Rally. Get into big groups and hold the line, because they are desperate. They wouldn't be trying to force this from the federal government if they weren't desperate and losing the war. So I really think that people should take some heart in this, that they should be encouraged that something positive is happening, because when the other side resorts to illegal moves, executive orders that are a clear violation of the separation of powers between the executive branch and the legislative branch, you're winning. So be bold, be confident, hold the line, stand true to our founding principles and to your own.
Oh, Leslie Manoukian, you give me such inspiration and hope. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast.
It's been great to be here with you, Kim. Thank you so much for having me and helping spread the word about freedom.
And my friends, definitely be bold, be courageous, stand strong. We stand on the shoulders of giants here in America, and Leslie Manoukian is one of them. She is a real hero. And my friends, God bless you and God bless America.